My name is Jenny Klukin. I'm a marimba player. I live in the Twin Cities. And I have a classical background in classical percussion, but since my formal training, I've crossed over into genres like jazz and folk music on the marimba.
Can you tell me how you were initially interested in playing jazz? Like, what made you decide to play jazz, and what drew you to the marimba?
Sure. Well, I grew up playing some jazz and gospel music with my parents at home. I grew up in rural Minnesota. So I grew up playing piano and guitar and drums and really fell in love with percussion and really wanted to be a jazz drum set player when I first started going to school at the University of Minnesota. I moved here specifically to study with Phil Hay and started taking lessons and soon realized that I really missed the harmonic and melodic side of making music. And so I did some lessons on the vibraphone and just still didn't feel like that was it, and then started playing marimba and really felt at home, I think because I love having a bass end of the instrument and vibraphone doesn't have that bass register. So I fell in love with marimba and went through the classical music training with marimba, loved it and then enjoyed it, but didn't really feel at home until after I graduated. I started going back to some of the songs that I played as a kid, some of the styles I grew up playing. I loved to improvise, and so it felt way more at home. But I really liked the idea of trying something really new, this new instrument in a new genre.
It seems like there's more vibes players in jazz than marimba players. I mean, I can think of, you know, some recordings that feature Bobby Hutcherson and Red Norvo, but it seems like more often you find like Milt Jackson, Lionel Hampton, Gary Burton, they're drawn to vibes. Like, what's the difference between those two instruments for you?
Sure. Register is a big thing. I think a lot of vibraphonists like to step over to marimba for a new sound. For example, Stefan Harris steps over to marimba, I'd say more often lately than before, which is really, really fun for me to see. Or Patricia Brennan plays vibraphone and steps over to marimba. But I do think their home is usually on the vibraphone. And the vibraphone has this great long sound. We actually have a muting pedal underneath, a dampening pedal underneath to stop that sound because it will truly ring forever and ever. Marimba doesn't have that. Marimba's made out of wood versus the vibraphone made out of metal. So it doesn't ring as long, so you have to approach it differently to sort of fill that space. It's harder to cut through a band with a marimba, so there's different ideas and practices that I have as a marimba player that are a little different than a vibraphonist would have. And again, we have that bass line, which I love to play with.
I know with certain instruments, there's certain limitations that make them even more interesting as solo voices. What are the limitations of the marimba, and how do you get around those? How do you exploit them to full advantage to develop your jazz voice?
A limitation that I deal with is being heard above the band, and I do that by, you know, nicely placed microphones and thinking about what register I'm in. But we can't soar like a vibraphone or a violin or a voice can. We never get to soar. We can roll a note, you know, hitting it repeatedly. That's not a sound that I love. So I really like to play with register, or if I really want a melody to soar, I'll play it in octaves in my right hand, and I feel like I can accomplish it that way. But the other way that marimba players try to compensate for that limitation is by filling in a lot of space. So if you think about an instrument that I really like to use as a model is the banjo. Like, I love Bela Fleck, and the way he boogada 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 fills in the space, marimba players kind of think the same way. And maybe guitars too, maybe not quite as much as banjo, but we fill the space by playing more notes, which we can definitely overplay sometimes by overdoing it with that, but we fill the space with lots of notes. Thank you.
Are there certain players that you look to as inspirations? And are they necessarily marimba players?
Yeah, I draw inspiration from a lot of, you know, marimba players and non-marimba players alike. I'm a huge fan of Stefan Harris as a mallet player. I think he's more of a keyboard player. He can do it all. He can cross over into marimba, and he did that at Twin Cities Jazz Fest a couple years ago, which was really fun to see. The first marimba player that I got really excited about was Nancy Zeltzman, who is a marimba player in Boston. And then another marimba player that I've been really inspired from is Eric Samu, who's from Paris, and I studied with him a couple years ago and actually just worked with him last week. But other non-marimba players, I mentioned Bela Fleck is a huge inspiration for me because he's really taken this instrument that, you know, the banjo can be kind of, like I say, like a little bit of a punchline instrument. The banjo can be kind of seen as a silly instrument, but he's really elevated it and taken it out of its typical genres. Also, Chris Thiele is another big artist that I admire for taking the instrument that pretty much just lives in one world and crossing over into all kinds of genres with it.
Tell me about the new album that you have coming out. What's it called? What is the idea behind creating this album?
Sure. This is my second album. I named it Marimba Standard because the idea behind it is to really bridge the worlds between the classical marimba world that I have studied in and the jazz ensemble that I'm working in now, or the jazz quartet. So I wanted to take things that were standards from both of those worlds and try to meet in the middle with a new sound. So I've taken three jazz standards that are, some might say they're a little overplayed. I played Take Five, Girl from Ipanema, Afro Blue. These are very, very common tunes to learn in a jazz quartet or in a jazz setting. But I wanted to take them and give my own perspective as a five-octave marimba player, because these are recordings that I couldn't find a five-octave marimba player playing these recordings, and so I wanted to give my own take on these things that are such pillars of the jazz world. And then the inversion of that is that I wanted to take some pillars of the marimba world and jazz quartetify them, for lack of a better word. So I took two pieces. One is Rotation 4, which is a very, very popular marimba solo by Eric Samu that was just, in my opinion, really begging for a rhythm section. It's got this great, cool groove in the beginning. So I took that and arranged it for the guys that I play with. And then I also took a tune called Catamia, which is a marimba solo by Emmanuel Sejourner, another French marimba player, actually, and turned that into a quartet and really kind of opened up the middle section for solos and stuff. And that was actually one of the first marimba solos that I learned in college. So that really feels like a full circle thing to be arranging that tune out.
So you mentioned Take Five, and tell me about how this tune resonates with you.
Sure. I mean, it's a very popular tune. It's so catchy and popular. We all have heard it and love it. But I have a very specific memory of being a young student and going to the University of Minnesota Morris Jazz Festival. And at that time, I was very determined to be a jazz drum set player. And I remember that Laura Caviani was a guest that year. And so I got to hear her and Phil Hay play together, and they took requests from the audience of what to play together. And I eagerly raised my hand and said, Take Five. And I think Laura Caviani said something like, oh, you're funny. I don't know if she didn't want to play it that day or what, but they ended up playing it and it was fantastic. And I connected with her afterwards. And she was really the person who, you know, I was probably 16 years old, and she really planted a seed in my mind that day to move to Minneapolis. And she said, you need to come to Minneapolis, and you need to study with Phil Hay, which I ended up doing. I ended up getting very distracted by the marimba, but that interaction really was the beginning of a process for me of coming to this area and studying music.
Tell me about the inclusion of Make You Feel My Love. This is actually the second jazz recording of this song that I've seen in the last year. Adi Ishaya and Jennifer Grimm did a version of it.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if Adi and Jennifer's performance of it is maybe something that put it in my mind a while ago. I like to think of this track as sort of a preview of what I want to do next. I'd really love to play more folk music. That's really what I grew up playing the most, is like bluegrass and American folk music. I feel like I'm pretending to be Chris Thiele on mandolin when I solo over this. It's very, very high and quick and flying around like a mandolin player would do.
I don't know the tune Stay This Way. Tell me about that one, please.
Stay This Way is a track that I wrote. I actually started writing it in the wee hours of the morning with my son, feeding him early in the morning. Sort of the rhythmic theme of this tune is the robbing of time. So the phrases, thinking about, you know, the way we raise our children and every year feels like a little faster than the year before. In this tune, every fourth bar is a little shorter than the previous three, so it's a measure of 4-4-4 and then 3, and then eventually it reaches a place where it's a measure of 7-7-7-5. So it's this sort of like you can't quite tap your foot to it, you can't quite settle into it, and time is constantly being taken away from you a little bit. And it's this sort of bittersweet melody of how we're so glad that our children are getting older and stronger, but we're a little sad about it too at the same time.
Tell me about the people that join you on the album, the players that you got to make the recording with you.
So a lot of the people that were on my first record and people that I perform regularly are with me on this record. I have Chris Bates on upright bass, who I love to play with. I have Dave Schmallenberger on drums for most of the tracks. Chris Olson plays guitar on most of the tracks. A few of the guest artists include Julie Johnson, who's a super cool hip flute player who joined me on Afro Blue. It was really, really fun to put that together with her. I also had mentioned the OK Factor. Two string players, Olivia Derricks and Carla Peters, joined me on two tracks playing strings. A while ago, I had connected with Mark Walker, who's a really, really fabulous drummer, who played with Ralph Towner, and we were both guest artists at A Day of Percussion together and really had a great time and connected and played music together. So I had been telling him that I was putting together this Billy's Bounce arrangement and was thinking drum set would be really fun on it, and he said, hey, I'll do it. Send me the stems, I'll do it. And so I sent him the stems and we did it remotely together. So Mark is on one of the tracks.
Tell me about the CD release party at the end of the month.
Yeah, I have an album release party coming up. The album releases on Friday, March 27th, and then we're going to party on March 28th to celebrate the release. It's Saturday, March 28th at 7:30 p.m., and it's at Art House North in St. Paul.
My guest was Jenny Klukin, a marimba player whose new album, Marimba Standard, is officially released tomorrow. As you heard, the CD release celebration, a concert at Art House North, takes place Saturday night in St. Paul. Not only is she a musician, she's also a visual artist. In fact, she designed the cover for her new recording. You can check out both her visual work and her music at jennyklukin.com. That's JennyKlukin.com. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.